Good morning. Happy Sabbath. The sun's not shining. It's raining outdoors, but the sun is shining in here, isn't it? Yeah, glad to see everybody here. What a blessing. The message today is entitled Today. Dr. George Sweeting, he tells of a visit that he and his family made to Niagara Falls. You ever been there? Anybody been to Niagara Falls? And it was the springtime, and the ice was rushing down the river and heading toward the fall. And as he viewed, he noticed large blocks of ice flowing toward the falls, and he could see that there were carcasses of dead fish frozen in the ice. And the gulls, the seagulls, or whatever you'd like to call them, the gulls were by the score riding these blocks of ice, devouring the frozen fish. And as they came to the brink of the falls, they would put out their large wings, fly upriver, find another block of ice with a fish frozen in it, and continue. They'd land on the ice, they would devour the fish carcass. When they'd get to the precipice, they would get up and fly away. And he said he watched one gull that seemed to delay its departure from that block of ice. And he was wondering, when is it going to leave? It's getting very close to the edge. And he noticed that it was just absorbed in what it was doing, engrossed in what it was having for lunch. And when it finally came to the brink of the fall, at the very last moment, it put out its wings and began to flap and flap and flap. And he said it flapped so hard that it actually lifted the block of ice out of the water a little. Its feet had frozen into the ice, and it was too late, and it went over the falls. The finest attractions in the world, they can become deadly when we become overly attached to them, overly engrossed in whatever it is. Seemingly harmless activities can be like that block of ice. Absorbed so much that it will take us to our destruction. And the doctor, when he observed this, he said, "Oh, the danger of delay. The danger of delay." So this delay is a very serious problem in the world today. Because every day we face opportunities to make decisions, spiritual decisions. And spiritual decisions are the decisions that have eternal consequence. They last forever. The temporal decisions that we make, they don't last forever, but the spiritual decisions we make do. And it can become deadly for us to delay, to put things off. Things that we should do today. And you know, the Lord is constantly seeking to draw us to Him. Even someone who has been an Adventist their entire life, 50, 60 years, maybe more, God is working. He's constantly drawing, attempting to convict each of us as we go through this journey before Jesus comes. And so He is trying to get us to surrender to Him. We talked a bit about this in Sabbath school today. He wants us to surrender to Him and have a new conversion experience every day. Did you realize that you need to be converted every day? What did Paul say? He said, I die daily. And so that conversion experience, the Lord is trying to bring us there every day. And in doing that, when we surrender and we allow Him to convert us afresh every day, He is able to change our characters, to model us after Him. If you would, turn to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, beginning in verse 10. And I'm going to begin reading there in verse 10. Then Paul, after the governor had nodded to him to speak, answered, "Inasmuch as I know that you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself." So what's happening here is Paul is Saul converted. So he's Paul. And he is accused of sedition, of agitation, of treason. And he's brought before Governor Felix, and Felix gives him the nod and says, you go ahead and you defend yourself. And so he says, inasmuch, verse 10, as I know that you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because you may ascertain that it is no more than 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with anyone nor inciting the crowd, either in the synagogues or in the city. Nor can they prove the things of which they now accuse me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept. And there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms and offerings to my nation, in the midst of which some Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with a mob nor with tumult. They ought to have been here before you to object if they had anything against me, or else let those who are here themselves say if they found any wrongdoing in me while I stood before the council. Unless it is for this one statement, which I cried out, standing among them, concerning the resurrection of the dead, I am being judged by you this day. But when Felix heard these things, so what you have is you have Paul defending himself. And he goes on, in verse 22 it says, but when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, when Lysias the commander comes down, I will make a decision on your case. So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for him or visit him. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith of Christ. So I want to stop here for a minute. So Felix, let's talk about him for a minute. That name means happy. And that's kind of funny because he wasn't a happy man. But maybe when he, you know, was born, his parents looked at him and he smiled or laughed. And they said, oh, let's call him Felix. He's happy. But historically, as the governor of Judea, he was not qualified for that position. And it's said of him that he practiced every kind of cruelty and lust, and that he was also a tyrant. And that is how he dealt with zealots and assassins and people that were criminals. And he was corrupt, and he was easily bribed. So Felix is here, and Paul is being falsely accused by the high priest Ananias. And Tertullus, he's the great orator, and he, you know, he does his spiel. And when he's done making these false accusations, Paul is able to do what I just read. Now, Felix was from Caesarea, and so he had a very good knowledge of Jesus, of Christianity, and he was not fooled by the false testimony. He was not fooled. And so we're in verse 24 of chapter 24. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was what? Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Now, there's a whole lot there in verse 24 and 25. It says that he listened to Paul as Paul shared with him concerning faith in Jesus. He reasoned regarding righteousness, that's the righteousness of Christ, self-control, and the judgment to come. This is the everlasting gospel. And so he shares this with Felix, and Felix puts it off. He says, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. That's the mistake. It's actually a common occurrence because the things of Christ are being shared, they're being discussed in many places, certainly in church, on Sabbath, in Sabbath school, maybe in Bible studies, maybe at prayer meeting. And so these things are being shared and they're being discussed and hopefully thought about. The Holy Spirit is convicting. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is working right now? Because always in a gathering of any size at all, there are unconverted souls. So the Holy Spirit is convicting. And even if you don't feel that you're unconverted, there is work the Holy Spirit is trying to do. So the message, wherever it comes from, the pulpit or Bible study or prayer meeting, whatever, the message is for you. God has sent a message for you. The Holy Spirit is working. And so this is all happening. And in this case with Felix, he hears the truths about Jesus, about righteousness, about the judgment to come. And his heart is being touched. The Holy Spirit is working. That's where that fear is. And he was afraid because he was being convicted. And so what does he do? He says, when it's more convenient, you know, I'll call for you. He puts it aside. Acts of the Apostles, page 426 and 427, says this: instead of permitting his convictions to lead him to repentance, Felix sought to dismiss these unwelcome reflections. The interview with Paul was cut short. A ray of light from heaven had been permitted to shine upon Felix when Paul reasoned with him concerning righteousness, temperance, and a judgment to come. Did you know that a ray of light is shining on you when the Word of God is being shared, when you're in Sabbath school? You know, Sabbath school is very important. I wish that Sabbath school was attended like this. I wish that we, because I believe that Sabbath school can actually be more fulfilling spiritually than perhaps a sermon, because you're able to exchange thoughts and ask questions and so forth. And so a ray of light from heaven had been permitted to shine upon Felix when Paul reasoned with him. That was his heaven-sent opportunity to see and to forsake his sins. He had slighted his last offer of mercy. Never was he to receive another call from God. Now that's very harsh, but very true. That happens. So, because we don't know what 2 hours from now will bring. And I know that for a fact, because in the last church district that we were in, we lived 4.5 miles from the church on the same road. And we would drive about halfway, and when we would get to the flashing light, we would cross an intersection and go another 2 miles or so, and we'd be at the church. Well, there was a neighbor, an Adventist woman, who we would bring to church sometimes because she was elderly. And one day we were bringing her to church, and she said, "Do you know why that yellow light is there?" And I said, "No." She said, "Well, let me tell you, on Sabbath one day, my brother was coming home from church. And when he got to the intersection, his wife didn't see a car coming. And she went across, and a car hit them broadside and killed my brother right after church on Sabbath." And so we do not know what later today or what tomorrow will bring. And so it behooves us not to put off the rays of light that God is shining on us moment by moment, day by day. It is just a serious, serious thing. Most people don't know when, you know, time is up. It's a sad reality. Precious soul, Felix, Lord is wanting to reach him through the Holy Spirit. Jesus died for all mankind. So this soul, Felix, is precious. Holy Spirit's been desperately trying to reach him and convert him his entire life. And then, and how do I know that? 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that. It says, "The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all to come to repentance." So the Lord's not willing that any of us would perish, we would all come to repentance. And so he's been working on Felix all his life, and it comes down to this moment when Paul is sharing the gospel, and he doesn't surrender. He doesn't surrender. He feels the conviction. He says, ooh, that's uncomfortable. He puts it aside. You ever been uncomfortable by something that I said? Or that someone else said? Or that something you read in God's word or in the spirit of prophecy? I know there's things that I've read that have made me uncomfortable. And so that's the time not to put it off. That's the time to make a decision in the affirmative. So he slighted his last opportunity for heavenly mercy. And we have to be careful we don't do the same. Revelation 22, 6 and 7 says this, "Then he said unto me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servant what must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly, Jesus said. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." In Revelation 22, 11, "He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still." This talks about all decisions being etched in stone, so to speak. Every decision will be final. And when does this take place? Well, this takes place at the end of the investigative judgment. And you know, the free will of mankind, a loving attribute of God that he gives us free will, is not to be interfered with. We do not force people to do anything. God does not force us. He gives us free will. We are to be allowed to live the life of our own choosing. That's how God operates. You may do what you want to do. Of course, he wants us to choose him and to follow his direction. But by giving us free will, it allows us to demonstrate our true character. So you might fool your family or fool your church family or your friends or co-workers, but you do not fool God. And during the 1,000 years, the books will be open and no one will be fooled. All the saved will see. And so our true characters are allowed to be demonstrated to heaven and to those on earth that can see it by the free will choices that we make. So you want to ask yourself, how do I respond to the work of the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit works in many ways. God's word, a message, a Bible study, a dear friend comes to you, puts their arm around you and counsels you. How do you respond to that? How do you respond to the message that is shared here each week? And so all this comes to a climax at the end of probation. And for this dear saint's brother, probation closed when he got T-boned unexpectedly. And for Felix, he made his final decision there. God knew that his heart was hardened and he'd never come to Jesus, come to repentance. He said, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." So now some 2 years later, we're in verse 26. And we find Herod, King Herod, Agrippa the second. And it says in verse 1, "Then Agrippa said to Paul, you are permitted to speak for yourself. So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself." So he goes through the same thing. And he defends himself in front of the king now. And then if you look at verse 27, Paul says, "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe." Then King Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." Almost. And you know, Paul shares his faith with both Felix and the king. He shares his faith. The gospel, his personal testimony, something every one of us should do. Be praying and seeking opportunities to share what God has done for us. Share the gospel. People are troubled. People are hurting. And so we should be doing the same as Paul. And so the Holy Spirit, again, is working to reach the heart of Agrippa. And Paul asks him a direct question about believing the prophets. He says, I know that you do. And in verse 27 and 28, he says, you know, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. It's a sad story. Very sad. Christ Object Lessons, page 111. Almost, but not enough. Almost Christians, yet not fully Christians. How many are trying to walk the fence and be in the world and be a Christian at the same time? That doesn't work. Almost, but not enough. Almost Christians, yet not fully Christians. They seem near the kingdom of heaven, she says, but they cannot enter there. Almost, but not wholly saved means to be not almost, but wholly lost. You know, friendship with the world is enmity, hatred toward God. Those are clear biblical texts. There's no gray area there. We need to be serious about our relationship with the Lord. Again, in Acts of the Apostles, deeply affected, Agrippa for the moment lost sight of his surroundings and the dignity of his position. Conscious only of the truths which he had heard, seeing only the humble prisoner standing before him as God's ambassador, he answered involuntarily, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. In verse 29, Paul recognizes the Holy Spirit is touching the hearts of those around him. It says this, and Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all who would hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. So Paul said, boy, I just pray that everybody that hears me, not only you, King, but everyone that's listening would be a converted Christian, but not be in bondage, because he was in chains. And so it's an appeal for everyone that was in the hearing distance of Paul. Holy Spirit was working. I wish you and everyone else that hears the good news would become like me, a believing Christian, through and through. And it's a decision that we have to make. No one can make it for us. We're not saved because of affiliation, last names, lineage, anything like that. It's an individual case. Every case God is going to look at individually. And I won't be able to say, but my wife, or but my brother. None of those things will work. We have to make it. Whether we run from God or run toward him, that's my decision. Whether we ignore his call, whether we reject his message, the decision is ours. And so today is the day to make that decision. Today is the day. There's a powerful verse of Scripture that you're familiar with, 2 Corinthians 6:2. It says this, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The best time to respond is today. Because the voice, the conviction of the Holy Spirit is loudest the first time. Because we quench the Holy Spirit, we quiet him as we continue to reject the conviction. And we don't know what tomorrow will bring, that's for sure. Psalm 95, 7 and 8, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. We're God's sheep. Read John chapter 10. Some beautiful promises there in John chapter 10. And so this is God's desire for you today, for us today. Don't wait another minute. A week or a month. Don't put it off until something else. Don't try to make yourself better. You can't do that. Today is the day God wants you to make a decision for him. And don't harden your heart. So today's a very special Sabbath. I want to invite Amelia up here and McCade and Ava and Landon and Kathy. And I want to apologize to Kathy because I didn't send her name to the bulletin secretary. So it didn't end up in the bulletin, but she's here with us. And each one of these people, young and maybe a little bit older, they have made decisions to follow Jesus completely, haven't you? And haven't we had a blast studying together? So I studied with these four, and Kathy studied with Vera. And I know that Vera was blessed as a result of that. And, you know, I have made it my policy as a pastor and before that as an elder to never try to force young people to make a decision for baptism. I present the truth, and I share with them the truth about the baptism, and I let them make a decision. And these young people were not coerced in any way by any teacher or by myself, no one that I know of. They made decisions on their own. And it is a wonderful thing to see the Holy Spirit work, isn't it? And when young people make a decision, the other young people and some of the older people are seeing that. And it is a witness, isn't it? Because it's kind of scary to get up as a young person sometimes in front of people. And then to be baptized, it might be a little frightening too. I don't know how they're feeling right now. But we're going to go and prepare for baptism. Grant's going to play a song, a hymn. I think we have a chorister that's going to lead us. And we will be back out very shortly.